As we get going in this, I feel like we need to pray. So would you bow your heads? Not because it makes you more spiritual or anything. It's mostly just for the ADD. And as we pray this morning, this needs to be a David Psalm 139 kind of prayer where he made himself available to God. He said, "Search my heart, know my anxious thoughts. If there's any way about me that's not of you, get rid of it." And that's how we got to approach this today, because I don't know what stuck out to you as George read Paul's words to us, but there are all kinds of times in my life when falsehood, letting anger result in sin, rage, malice, all kinds of evil have been part of my life. So Lord God, we come to you right now and we pray that there would be freedom this morning. I pray, God, over this room that there would be a supernatural move of your Holy Spirit, that you would set people free, that there would be the recognition of your power and your presence, that there would be redemption, there would be restoration, that there would be healing that comes with confession, and Lord, that you would move in power in this place this morning, and that new life would be realized as we trust in your Spirit. And so, Lord Jesus, we invite you here. Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do. Bring our defenses down where we want to justify or explain or rationalize or so that we can maintain behavior. God, break it down and help us to recognize all that you want to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let me remind us of the context of what's going on. And we started this portion last week where we look at some strong language that Paul uses with the primarily Gentile, meaning non-Jew, believers in Ephesus. And he says things like this: "I tell you this and insist on it." Okay, Paul. All right, I see where you're coming. "I insist on it in the name of the Lord that you no longer live as the Gentiles do. Their thinking is futile. Their understanding is darkened. They're separated from the life of God. Their hearts are hard. They've lost all sensitivity. They've given themselves over to sensuality and every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed." He's not holding back, right? He's going, look, this is the way it is. And since you have heard of Christ, of life in Christ, this is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. He calls them to put off your old self, which is corrupted, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self in true righteousness and holiness. And so we're going to continue today with the whole put off, put on thing. And this is going to be really important because the stuff that we're going to see today, there's the personal aspect of it. So every person in this room, all of you, whether it's your first time here at LBF or you've been going here since the chicken coop, or whether you've been a believer for decades or you're here just going, what's this God stuff all about? All of this is something that is important for us because there is a personal aspect to what we're talking about, but there is also a body aspect of what we're talking about, where we can't just keep it to ourselves and think that what we're thinking or doing or saying is just about us, because we're gonna see clearly that this is a communal kind of a thing. This is a body of Christ kind of thing as well. So since this new life, since we can put on a new self in Christ, in verse 25, "Therefore, you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Now, when he's saying things like put off and put on and these kinds of things, it's important that we take these as the command that they are. Did we hear that? These aren't suggestions. These aren't useful little, hey, if you want to get along with people at OBF, hey, if you want to look like a nice Christian. These are commands. In the name of Jesus, you are to do these things. So the first thing is put off falsehood, right? Therefore, you must put off falsehood. And the way he's talking about these things are sort of like rocks in a running shoe, Okay? When he's talking about these things, he's saying, you need to get rid of these things. These don't have any business in the life of a believer or in the community of Christ any more than a rock and a running shoe. Now, this is interesting because, like, you see something like this and you're like, Jeff, that's ridiculous. Nobody would even try and put a running shoe on with a rock like that. And so, therefore, when it comes to sin, when it comes to things that we're not supposed to allow in the community, in the body of Christ, of course not. Okay. But then we start justifying, we start explaining, and we start smoothing out our rocks. So our rock is a little more presentable. It's still in the shoe. It's still unusable. Like, you can't do anything, but at least it's not as harsh. I mean, it's not all jaggedy and rough. And so we start to justify and we start to explain things away. Well, we're going to read and like, no, that has no place. Okay, well, fine. I'll get rid of the big ones. And, you know, okay. How bad could it hurt? Right? What's the big deal? What kind of impact could this have on the body? And this could just be something, well, maybe I notice it, but nobody else is going to notice it. And we start to justify, we start to explain. And what we're going to see Paul and what we've been seeing Paul say in emphatic terms is you must get rid of this. You must put this off. And he starts with falsehood. Put off falsehood, and the original word is pseudos, where we get pseudonym, where we get fictitious. So anything that's false in our life, any action, any attitude, any mindset, any representation, anything in our life that is false, we are commanded to get rid of it. And there is no place for it in the body of Christ. And we can look at things like an outright lie. Well, of course not. Of course I would never, like, I'm not going to just like lie to somebody. But I will exaggerate. I will tell a good story. Oh, no, that's still not okay. Okay. Well, I will post things online that make me look like I have a great life or that I don't struggle with this or it, like, certainly that's okay, right? So as we look at these things and when we see Paul say, you must put off falsehood. It has no place in the life of a believer. And sometimes it gets tricky because, well, I want to look spiritual. So I'll use all the spiritual language, but I don't live it out in my life. I know that when the music starts, certain songs, it's just, but my attitude with my kids or the way I talk about people is falsehood. It's fictitious. It's a rock in a shoe. And Paul's saying it has no place. So put off the falsehood, anything that's not true, and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So what he's saying is put off falsehood, but don't just like not say lies, but speak truthfully. And he brings up here the community. When he says your neighbor and one body, he's talking about, hey, in the body of Christ, the lies, the untruth has no place. And we're not supposed to leave it in there. So what is keeping you from being truthful? What's keeping you from being genuine? And a lot of times what we wrestle with is this fear that, well, if I tell the truth, if I say, if I don't cover up, if I don't act like, well, then I won't be accepted, I won't be loved, which we're going to talk more about lately or later. But falsehood typically stems from fear. So what fear right now in this room, sitting in your chair, what fear do you need to acknowledge is keeping you from being truthful, is keeping you from being genuine, is making you feel like you need to act. You need to put on a show. You need to put up a front. You need to distract people in some other way. What fear do you need to take captive? Because it's keeping you from the truth. And man, it's hard to live out a lie. It's hard to live out an act. The great philosopher Toby Ziegler from the West Wing, he said it this way. Tell the truth, if for no other reason than it's the easiest thing to remember. So that's just basic. That just like, okay, fine. Because man, it's exhausting to keep it up. It's exhausting to try and remember how you're supposed to be. We have to get rid of any falsehood. And we need to put on the truth. And these decisions impact the whole body, just like a rock in a running shoe. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Notice, Paul is not saying, don't get angry. Because there are definitely things, there are certainly times that righteous anger is appropriate. In fact, let's take, you know, falsehood. Falsehood in the body, if we were to see falsehood in the body of Christ and not be angry about that, that would be a sin. And so he's not saying, don't be angry. Originally, the text would read, be angry, but in your anger, don't let it lead you to sin. Don't let it lead you to handling your anger in your flesh, in your mind of what you think needs to happen. And as you find yourself in an angry state, don't let it lead you to sin. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Boy, when my wife and I were newlyweds, we really could have used some explanation to that verse. Because we still remember this. When we were first married and we were having an argument, a conflict, we were upset with each other, we would not go to bed until we had worked it out. If there's any newlyweds in the room, let me give you a pro tip. 3 a.m. talking points aren't real useful in restoration and working things out and making things better. Go to bed, okay? Sleep on it. Here's what he's talking about. He's going, look, don't let anger go unchecked. When you're angry, don't let the sun go down on your anger in your heart. Don't let your heart settle in anger, which sometimes is real tempting, right? Oh, I'll get over it. It'll be fine. Anybody ever said that? And we just let it go. And we have terms for it, like, you know, sweeping under the rug, or, you know, just let the issue die and be buried and it'll be fine. The marriage therapist Les Parrott says it this way, that buried issues have a high rate of resurrection. I can tell by the laugh. That's an amen, right? Like, it's coming back, right? And so what Paul is saying here, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't let your heart resolve and settle in anger. Don't just let it continue unchecked. Because they say, you know, time heals all wounds. What a load. Time heals all wounds. When you have a wound, untreated, what does time do? Leads to infection, right? And a whole mess of other mess. And so don't let your anger go unchecked. Don't let your heart resolve and settle in things where you just think, it'll be fine. Now, as a side note, there are issues that are you issues. There are issues where you are personally bothered. And so this is not a command to say, anytime you're bugged at somebody, you need to go to them and tell them how bugged you are. Because there are issues in life where it's like, this is the work that God needs to do in you. So as we're talking about this, what we're talking about is in these areas where there is disunity and hurt and things, and it's in the areas of sin and things like that, where you need to not just let it go, that we would not let our hearts settle in anger, because that anger is going to end up leading to sin. So put off anger that leads to sin, but put on truthfulness, which takes away the enemy's foothold. See, this is key. We're not just saying, work it out so that you can be buddies again. We're saying, work it out because there's a spiritual dynamic to this too that takes away the foothold that the enemy wants to get into our lives, into our relationships, into our community. My son Nathan is a rock climber, and he's really good. And I know that picture's hard to see, but it's a person basically putting their foot on a foothold that's like nothing. Nathan will put his toe like on a wall, and it's like, it looks smooth to me. And he's just like, boom, and suddenly just goes, and lifts his entire body up to the next hold. And I'm just like, that's incredible. That you were able to do that with just that little tiny hold. You're Superman. I don't know what else to. This is all Satan needs, is a foothold. All he needs is a little opportunity to go, oh, you're gonna let that go? You're gonna give me some time with what you're feeling toward your kids right now? You're gonna give me some time, and you're not gonna try and work things out with that friend at school? You're not gonna talk things out with your husband or your wife, and you're just gonna kind of imagine what you would say? We've all had that out loud conversation alone in the car, right? Of all the things we would say, or we're gonna say, but the brokenness comes when we just let that fester, we just let that stir up inside of us. And then we show up and we walk in. How's it going? Fine. Fine's an F word, just by the way. When used like that, and this could be one of the primary things that Paul's even talking about when he's saying, get rid of falsehood. To say fine, to try and bury the issue when you're not fine, to hold on to bitterness and resentment and anger, and to not walk in truthfulness, it does all kinds of damage to the body of Christ. It has no business being in the shoe. And he says to get rid of it. I feel like we could stop right now and just take some time individually and go, God, reveal to me the areas where I've let the sun go down on my anger, where I've let my heart settle in anger and bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, and I've settled there. I've let the sun go down. We'll do it at youth group where we'll be talking and be like, okay, everybody go find a spot in the room and just get with God. See what he wants to say to you. We should each do that. God, would you reveal to us, in fact, right now, let this be our prayer. God, would you reveal to us where we've let the sun go down? Where we are holding on to things that you've justified, you've explained, you've smoothed out the rock, you've tried to make it no big deal, you've done all the things. God, would you reveal to us the healing that needs to happen, the confession that needs to happen. Paul's not done. The entire next section calls out and it speaks to the reason the church is called together. There's a reason we're called into community in what God wants to do. So, put off. Anyone who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Why is stealing wrong? Why can't it just be finders keepers? Right? Why is it such a big deal? Well, here's why Paul's bringing it up. Because it's not just about, it's not nice. It's about, because stealing affects the whole body. Stealing is an issue in the body of Christ, in the community of Christ. So, he's saying, look, and we'd look at it and like, I'm going to take Mike's car. I'm not going to take, of course I wouldn't. But what about, I'm going to borrow stuff and not give it back. How about, well, I'm getting paid at my job to do stuff, but instead I'll just scroll the internet and be online and just do, don't steal. We're told not to steal. In fact, in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, he even talks about mooching. He brings it up and he goes, look, those of you who are not busy, but you're busy bodies, get busy. You need to provide. And there's two things that he's talking about where he's going, look, there's the aspect of providing for yourself, but it doesn't stop there going like, work hard to provide for yourself so you don't have to steal and so that you can provide for those around you. So you can meet the needs of those who are in need. And so our desire and our hard work goes beyond just providing for ourselves. So put off hurting the community by stealing and put on what contributes to the community in your life, your family, your friends, your church. Put on what will contribute to the community. Do something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Providing for ourselves, working hard to provide for ourselves, but not stopping there, working hard, using it as motivation to go, you know what, I don't want to just provide for me, I want to provide for those around me as well. Some more things that will impact the body. Dan said that I could talk for 2 hours this morning, so we're going to unpack this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I once had a person argue with me that swearing and talking dirty was okay because in other languages, those words don't even mean anything. Point missed, right? The point of why we're supposed to watch our language is because of the body. It's because of the witness of Christ in our lives. And so the dirty jokes, which may get a laugh, but we may not even know what it's doing in the mind and heart of somebody else who starts imagining things and thinking about things that they have no business thinking about. The foul language, the swearing, the cursing, the cussing, the whatever you want to call it, that demonstrates a lack of self-control in you and also causes those around you who, they, hey, oh yeah, so-and-so goes to church, and I thought Christians were supposed to be different. She talks just like the rest of us. He gossips just as much as the rest of us. He swears just like everybody else on the job, and it hurts our witness. It hurts the community. It hurts what God has called us to. So we are told the foul language, any unwholesome talk, no matter how you try and smooth it out, get rid of it. It has no business here. It will hurt the entire body because words matter. All words matter. And it's not just about, okay, I'm going to try and stop cussing. Look at the rest of it. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So it's not just about, oh, you know, reeling in your language. It's about looking for ways to build the people around you up. Encourage. So what does that look like in your life? How can you encourage the people around you? Put off unwholesome talk and put on only what is helpful for building others up according to their need. Sometimes this will look like restraint. I'm not going to say what I'd like to say to you. Other times, it'll look like stepping out and going, you know what, I'm going to look for a way to encourage my son. I'm going to look for a way to encourage my wife. I'm going to look for a way to encourage this person that I work with. And being proactive and going out and going, you know what, I'm going to build up the body of Christ around me. And then Paul, you know those when the jet planes go and they go like straight up? This is what Paul does. Here we go. He hits us with this. Hold on. and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Hold on, what? We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God? This should stop us in our tracks and be like, oh, hold on, wait, what? See, what Paul's been talking about, and probably what we've been focused on, is how our actions impact us and how our actions impact the body of Christ around us. What Paul is also just throwing in here is, guess what? Our actions affect God, which is awesome. Truly, it's what an amazing truth. Our actions affect God. He loves you that much. He wants relationship with you that much. That when we act or talk or think or say or do whatever it is that breaks relationship, that separates us from his heart, where he has life for us and he's going, oh, that you would choose life, and we go somewhere else, it grieves him. When we screw up, he's not looking at us and going like, oh, you dumb. Ah. He's going, oh, come back. I have life for you. So Paul throws this in here going, look, your words matter, your actions matter. Don't lie, don't steal, don't do all these things. Because not only does it affect the community, it affects your heart for me and our relationship. Put off. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. These are things that work against us. There's not a person on the planet who looks at that list and goes, I need a little more slander in my life. I need to be a little more malicious. No one's saying that. Okay, this is something that's recognized as we need to get rid of these things. But we've got to put them off. We've got to look at these and we've got to be willing to call it what it is and go, you know what? That doesn't, this bitterness that I've been holding on to the, against this person who may deserve it or whatever it may be. No. No more. All right, I'm gonna love them. I'm gonna free. I'm gonna set them free. I'm gonna forgive them. No, in the name of Jesus, it doesn't belong. I will not keep it around. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. The impact of these things is on the entire body. I went for a run about a week and a half ago, and a little ways into the run, I felt something like on the outside of my big toe. It didn't hurt. I could just tell. A little farther into the run, it was getting a little bit annoying, and so at one point I stopped and I could tell something was in there, but it was fine. I wiggled my toe, maybe adjust the sock a little bit, and and I kept running. I got a ways further in that run, and I was hobbled. I took my shoe off, and there was this blister on the outside of my toe. In fact, I have a picture. No, I'm just kidding. I had this blister on the outside of my toe, and it changed everything about my ability to run, my stride, my pace, how I landed on my foot. It changed everything. This is what was in my shoe. You see it? Nope. You see it? What? It's not obvious to you? Like, but I left it in there. And a lot of times this is the justification. We go, it's not that big a deal. I can handle it. It's not even something other people are going to notice. So people aren't even holding you accountable for it. It's just this. And it hobbles the body of Christ. when we leave these things in here, it changes everything. And it hurts the longer we just let it go and we say it's no big deal. And this is why Paul says so emphatically, get rid of these things. I insist, you must no longer, you must put off. He's going, it's not an option. It's not, oh, if you can handle it. Oh, if you're strong enough. Oh, if you've been going to church for long enough. Oh, if you're good enough. He's going, body of Christ, children of God, you've got to get rid of these things. You have to put them off. Put off bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander. And put on being kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So, the answer to all these things, in order not to give the enemy a foothold, put on kindness, compassion, forgiveness, just as Christ forgave you. See, we have these options: bitter, raging, angry, brawling, slanderous, malicious, kind, compassionate, forgiving. You ever tried to be both things at the same time? Impossible. It won't work. We can't do that. We have to put one off and put one on. And this is something that we do as we come to God every day. So is it just about being strong enough? Nope. The moment it ever becomes about us, we're in trouble and we're doing something wrong. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Do you know who you are? Do you realize that you are a dearly loved child of God? You're not just somebody out there who's trying their best, screwing up, making God angry at you, and he just keeps going, come on, keep trying, get it right. You are a dearly loved child of God. That is what we're called to lean into. That's what we're called to confess into. That's what we're called to recognize and go, you know what, I can't do this by myself. It can't be up to me to just try and be less or try and be more. We are to follow the example that God has given us as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. And all of this is coming on the heels of Paul earlier in this letter saying, there is a call on a believer's life. Do you believe that? As a child of God, do you believe that he has a call on your life? That there are gifts, spiritual gifts that he has available to us that we're supposed to eagerly desire? Do you eagerly desire those things as beloved children of God? So would you stand with me? I believe that there is freedom and restoration and healing and hope that God wants to supernaturally do this morning. And the prayer ministry team, come on up. And we do this every week where we say, come up and let people agree with you in what God is doing. To walk in faith with you. What are the rocks in your shoe? What are the things that you're trying to run? You've got the shoes. You're training, you're trying to run, you're and some days you do good. Some days you're able to go farther than others. You're trying really hard. And some of you, you're so blistered up and you now believe that that's just the way it is. Oh, well, I have all this pain and there's this hurt and I just have to live with it. I have to press through. The best thing that I could have done was stop, take the shoe off, get rid of the rock. And this is what we have the opportunity to do as believers in Jesus. If you will put your faith in him and go, you know what? I'm done trying this on my own. So as we sing this next song, as a declaration, I hope that the rock in your shoe is so uncomfortable. I'm actually hoping this for you. I hope the rock in your shoe, you've had enough. You're like, I can't take it anymore. My foot's bloody. And you've been believing a lie that you just got to go, no, God, no, no, you got to keep going. You got to, the finish is out there. You got to, I hope your shoe is so uncomfortable this morning that you will trust in the promise of God that says, confess your sins to each other and you'll be healed. There's healing for you. There is purpose for you. There's a call for your life. And the prayer ministry team is up here and they want to agree with you in prayer as you cry out to God. So at any point, come on up. Let us pray alongside you. If you're deep in an aisle, people will let you out, I promise. Just make your way out. Come on up and let's pray and let's get the rocks out of our shoes so that we can run the race that's been marked out for us.